is on the roof, and some odd goggles in the map pocket. The black men shut the doors of the Land Cruiser. The car started off with an electric hum. Up ahead, the three scientists and Gennaro were talking and pointing, clearly excited. Ed Regis said, "Let's hear what they're saying." An intercom clicked. "I don't know what the hell you think you're doing here," Gennaro said over the intercom. He sounded very angry. "I know quite well why I'm here," Malcolm said. "You're here to advise me, not play goddamn mind games. I've got 5% of this company and a responsibility to make sure that Hammond has done his job responsibly. Now you goddamn come here." Ed Regis pressed the intercom button and said, "In keeping with the non-polluting policies of Jurassic Park, these lightweight electric Land Cruisers have been specially built for us by Toyota in Osaka. Eventually, we hope to drive among the animals, just as they do in African game parks. But for now, sit back and enjoy the self-guided tour." He paused. "And, by the way, we can hear you back here." "Oh, Christ," Gennaro said. "I have to be able to speak freely. I didn't ask for these damn kids to come..." Ed Regis smiled blandly and pushed a button. "We'll just begin the show, shall we?" They heard a fanfare of trumpets, and the interior screens flashed, "Welcome to Jurassic Park." A sonorous voice said, "Welcome to Jurassic Park. You are now entering the lost world of the prehistoric past, a world of mighty creatures long gone from the face of the earth, which you are privileged to see for the first time." "That's Richard Kiley," Ed Regis said. "We spared no expense." The Land Cruiser passed through a grove of low, stumpy palm trees. Richard Kiley was saying, "Notice, first of all, the remarkable plant life that surrounds you. Those trees to your left and right are called cycads, the prehistoric predecessors of palm trees. Cycads were a favorite food of the dinosaurs. You can also see Benetitalians and ginkgos. The world of the dinosaur included more modern plants, such as pine and fir trees, and swamp cypresses. You will see these as well." The Land Cruiser moved slowly among the foliage. Tim noticed the fences and retaining walls were screened by greenery to heighten the illusion of moving through real jungle. "We imagine the world of the dinosaurs," said Richard Kiley's voice, "as a world of huge vegetarians, eating their way through the giant swampy forests of the Jurassic and Cretaceous world 100 million years ago. But most dinosaurs were not as large as people think. The smallest dinosaurs were no bigger than a house cat, and the average dinosaur was about as big as a pony. We are first going to visit one of these average-sized animals, called Hypsilophodonts. If you look to your left, you may catch a glimpse of them now." They all looked to the left. The Land Cruiser stopped on a low rise where a break in the foliage provided a view to the east. They could see a sloping forested area which opened into a field of yellow grass that was about 3 feet high. There were no dinosaurs.
"Where are they?" Lex said.
Tim looked at the dashboard. The transmitter lights blinked and the CD-ROM whirred. Obviously, the disk was being accessed by some automatic system. He guessed that the same motion sensors that tracked the animals also controlled the screens in the Land Cruiser. The screens now showed pictures of Hypsilophodonts and printed out data about them. The voice said, "Hypsilophodonts are the gazelles of the dinosaur world, small, quick animals that once roamed everywhere in the world, from England to Central Asia to North America. We think these dinosaurs were so successful because they had better jaws and teeth."